From Faith and Freedom Institute comes Freedom Focus with Gary Dahl and David Kistler. Freedom Focus is committed to encouraging America to return to the values of our founding fathers, as proclaimed in the Declaration of Independence, the United States Constitution, and the Bible. Now, here's Gary Dahl and David Kistler.
Well, good Wednesday afternoon to each and every one of you, and we are delighted to have you there in Freedom Focus country. My name is Gary Dahl.
And my name is Dave Kistler.
And I'm Sam Rohr.
And certainly we do want to thank you very, very much for the pleasure of your company for this very special program we have today on Freedom Focus. And that is the fact that we are delighted to have with us Judge Roy Moore, who is, of course, the state Supreme Court Chief Justice of the state of Alabama. And we've been trying to get him on for a couple of days, and he has graciously agreed to be with us. He's a very, very busy man, and we are honored to have him with us on Freedom Focus today. Judge Moore, welcome to our radio program this afternoon.
It's very nice to be with you, sir.
Well, it's a delight to have you with us. And as I said, we had you on many years ago when you were going through the Ten Commandments issue down there in Alabama. And even though it's a delight to have you with us again today, we wish we didn't have to talk about these things. But we do want to say right from the very beginning, thank you for being a man of principle. Thank you for being a man who stands up for constitutional law. We need that in the United States of America today. We need that in our states today. And you are, in our opinion, a great leader, a great example to follow, and we thank the Lord for you. And the way we're going to work this out today, Judge, is that Dave Kistler and Sam Rohr, the co-hosts, and I will be asking some questions. But to get this started, of course, we've been talking about this for quite some time on the program, and everyone knows that a United States District Judge Court ruled that you must, in the state of Alabama, issue same-sex marriage license starting last Monday. And, of course, that has become quite a hot issue. Just to get this started, let me ask a basic question. How long has this definition of marriage between a man and a woman only been in the Constitution of the state of Alabama?
I think it was 2006 we put it in the Constitution, but we also have a statute that goes back a few years before that. But basically, about 2000, I'd say.
And has it been contested down through those years up until now?
No.
Well, you know, I'm glad that it hasn't. And of course, I'm praying and trusting the Lord that right now, as a result of what's taking place, that the law will stand. I'm going to defer to Dave Kistler, who has a question for you now, Judge.
Judge, before I ask my question, I want to thank you, as Gary's already done, for being such a statesman and standing not only for the Constitution, but for biblical principles. And you conducted an interview with Chris Cuomo of CNN. And in that interview, Judge, both he and you referred to organic law. And for the sake of our discussion today, I think it would be great if you could give an explanation to our listening audience of what you meant by the term organic law.
Well, that's a very good question. You know, one of the biggest problems we have as Americans is failure to understand the form of government under which we live. The fact that the Constitution is the supreme law of the land is a truth, but the Constitution is only part of our law. The other law is the Declaration of Independence. And most people don't think of the Declaration as a law. But if you go to the United States Code today, which is a listing of all the laws of the country, you'll find the Declaration of Independence listed in the front as the organic law of our country. It's also organic law with the Northwest Ordinance, the Constitution, and the Articles of Confederation. But principally, the Declaration of Independence is where we get our beginning of law. Everything has to have some beginning, and our country recognized that rights are given by God. And they're given by God, and the organic law, the Declaration, says the role of government is to secure those rights for us. And then it gave us our name. Now, whether you're in Pennsylvania or West Virginia or anywhere in this country, the way you form a corporation is you file a charter of incorporation with the state, and then you follow up with the bylaws, the organization of powers. And that's basically what they did with our country. They said that in the fourth sentence, I think it's about the fourth, where they said that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it's the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundations on such principles, one, and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness, two. In other words, they laid the form of government on the principles of the Declaration and the name contained therein, just like you would a charter of incorporation, and they formed the powers and Articles of Confederation, which were later transformed to be the Constitution of the United States. So I refer to organic law because you've got to know where your rights come from. And you've got to know the role of government according to the Founding Fathers. And that's what they said. The only role for government is to secure the rights God gave us. Now, in the first sentence, too, they stated what gives us the right to even form government. And they said the laws of nature and of nature's God. And that is very important because those were legal terms in the 1700s. The laws of nature and the laws of God were directly related, and it's explained in Blackstone's commentaries. But that's what they said gave us the right to have a country. Later, James Madison actually said it, I think it's in Federalist 43, that that's what gives us the right to have a constitution. So that's what gives us the right to change from the Articles of Confederation to the Constitution with the laws of nature and of nature's God. So it's very important to understand where organic law fits in our country. It's from whence all laws come. And today I submit to you that this law regarding marriage is not contained within the Constitution. There is no word marriage in the Constitution. And there's no word for family. And so therefore the federal government doesn't have the right to interfere with that definition that's been recognized for thousands of years before our country began.
Judge, I found it interesting. In fact, it was really a stunning thing whenever Chris Cuomo said to you, you know, laws do not originate with God. They don't come from God. They come from man. And then you went immediately, and this explanation was tremendous today. You went immediately to a question you asked him. Do you believe that the Declaration of Independence is law? And he would not answer that. That was a stunning thing to watch.
Well, I think that most people don't understand and would answer it the way he couldn't, because most people don't think of the Declaration as law, but it's listed in the United States Code today as law, so organic law. So that's a very important point that Christians shouldn't miss. Americans shouldn't miss that.
Absolutely. And of course, you know, I'm very, very thankful for the way that you've clarified that. I think that one of the concerns we all have today is that the average American just does not understand the Constitution, doesn't understand the Declaration of Independence. And unfortunately, both of them are under great attack today. Sam Rohr, your question, please.
Yes, thank you, Gary. And Justice Moore, it's great to have you here. And I think that last question and discussion comes into this next one quite well. Russell Moore, who is with the Southern Baptist Convention Ethics Commission and a well-known theologian, publicly stated that because you are a public official, you were wrong for opposing, in essence, a federal dictate, and that if you wanted to disagree, you should resign and oppose it as a regular citizen. My question to you is this: is there any historical, lawful or biblical basis really to support Russell Moore's statement that you or any elected official must resign before opposing some, I would say, actual or even perceived government edict?
Well, of course, you talk about biblical. Daniel disobeyed Darius's order. Well, Darius was the king, and of course, the laws of the Medes and Persians were not to be disobeyed even by the king. And Daniel did that. He prayed and threw open his shutters when the king was convinced by his other subordinates that there should be no prayer for 30 days to any other God but the king. There's biblical basis, there's historical basis, but my goodness, we don't have to go very far because it's in the Constitution. A federal judge's order is not law. And this case brings so many principles out that it's astounding, and it's revealing to people that we've got the whole concepts wrong. So let me tell you a couple of those concepts we don't understand. Most people think that when a federal judge says something, it's law. When he rules on the case, it's law. It is only law of the case. In other words, the case before him, it applies to those persons, and if the law is interpreted but to the facts of that case. So the first thing we fail to understand is that when a federal judge says something, it doesn't change the Alabama Constitution. It changes it for those parties before him. He can declare it unconstitutional, and an appeal can be taken up through the federal system. But nothing changes the Alabama Constitution except the final order of the United States Supreme Court. That's the first thing. The second thing is we've got a concept of the federal courts higher than the state courts. And I don't care if it's Russell Moore, if it's you or any lawyer or judge in your state. We automatically think that the federal courts are just higher than the state courts. The lowest federal court is higher than the highest state court. That is not the constitutional system. And it's recognized not only in state law in our state, but in most state laws and in the federal circuits and the United States Supreme Court. Let me just tell you what I'm saying. If the lower courts, the first thing you've got to define, lower courts. What does that mean? Well, one of the interviewers thought it meant only the district courts. Actually, it's the federal district court and the United States Courts of Appeals. Why is that? Why are they called lower courts? Because they're lower than the Supreme Court of the United States. And if you go to Article 3 of the Constitution, you'll find that originally there was only one federal court, and that was the United States Supreme Court. And then such other courts as Congress shall propose, inferior courts, they call them. Lower is where we get that concept. So the inferior courts, being the United States Courts of Appeal and the federal district courts, are simply lower than the United States Supreme Court. But both of those lower courts have no authority over the state court system. They're separate sovereign doctrines. They interpret the law, one for the federal, one for the state, and the federal. So let me quote to you from Justice Clarence Thomas in 1993 in Lockhart versus Fretwell. In our federal system, a state trial court's interpretation of federal law is no less authoritative than that of the federal court of appeals in whose circuit the trial court is located. Now, Clarence Thomas was saying something that's understood well in the federal system, that a state court can interpret and even must interpret the United States Constitution just like the federal court. And if a state court interprets the Constitution one way and the federal court interprets it another way, the federal court doesn't control. Only the United States Supreme Court can be a arbiter of that decision. I'll give you a Florida case in which I think is very instructive, and I use this simply because of the language. It's a 1997 Florida District Court of Appeals case in Kidwell versus State. And they said it very, very clearly so that you can understand it. In a system where the decisions of lower federal courts in Florida are not binding on the state courts, is exactly what Clarence Thomas said, there may very well be occasions where the federal courts hold one way while the state courts hold the contrary. That is, after all, a consequence of our system of dual sovereignty. The remedy is simple. The United States Supreme Court can eliminate the conflict by simply taking up an appropriate case for review. So our concept that a federal judge can say your constitution is unconstitutional, she can do that in this case for the facts and the parties before her. And the only party before her was Attorney General of the state of Alabama, who had no control, by his own admission, over the probate courts of the state. So her ruling did not bind any probate courts originally, and that's why I put out my order. My order was put out as part of my duties as administrative head of the judicial system. Under the law, I'm charged with the duty to take affirmative and appropriate action to correct or alleviate any condition or situation adversely affecting the courts in our state and the administration of justice. Well, you know, when a federal judge says something, everybody runs and starts bowing down, even though they don't know what they're bowing down to. That ruling by her was appealed to the 11th Circuit, where she held that our state constitution was unconstitutional as applicable to the parties before her. Well, the 11th Circuit did not address the merits. They forwarded the injunctive relief onto the Supreme Court after they denied a stay, and the United States Supreme Court answered that. United States Supreme Court never answered the merits of her ruling on the constitutionality of the Sanctity of Marriage Amendment. That is still before the 11th Circuit on appeal. So the only law that exists for our probate judges is the Alabama Constitution and the United States Constitution. And like it's stated in the Supremacy Clause, I believe that said that this Constitution, speaking of the United States Constitution, and the laws of the United States made in pursuance thereof, and all treaties made or which shall be made under the authority of the United States shall be the supreme law of the land. Then it says this, and the judges in every state shall be bound thereby, anything that the Constitution or laws of any state to the contrary notwithstanding. And what that means simply is that we are, as state judges, sworn to the United States Constitution, and we must ensure that our Constitution is commensurate with that document. In fact, in the United States Supreme Court, they stated in 1995 that state courts are not merely free to, they're bound to interpret the United States Constitution. Then in 1977, they said, state courts have the solemn responsibility equally with the federal court to safeguard constitutional rights. Justice Thomas and later Justice Rehnquist all said the same thing, that there is basically a dual system. And I could quote to you many, many more cases. Perhaps most instructive is 2013 out of the United States Supreme Court. It said the views of federal courts of appeals do not bind the California Supreme Court when it decides a federal constitutional question. Well, going further than that, that was about the California Supreme Court. It doesn't bind any court in our state on a federal constitutional question. The only thing that the federal judge in this case in Alabama did was issue an opinion like it's been done in so many cases in so many states, some 21 in the last few years, and then everybody just runs for cover. They think that one federal judge can overturn your Constitution. Mm. Well, I've got a shocking news for everybody that's bowed down to this unlawful authority. If a state court upholds your Constitution, they're at a stalemate to the United States Supreme Court rules.
Well, Chief Justice, thank you so much for that commentary. It underscores for me exactly what we're saying here, and we've been talking about, is that for a Christian, as a theologian, Russell Moore, whatever, to say, here, in my opinion, there is biblical truth and application in law, but as you're laying out, we also live within a constitutional republic bound by civil law, and exactly what you're laying out is the fact that we, as Christian citizens, must also know our civil law in order to be able to work together. They don't work opposed to each other. They work together. Would I not be correct in saying that?
You're right. And furthermore, if you go just to the civil law, you realize it has an origin. That origin is found in organic law. And in organic law, God has a place. He has a place because he endowed people with unalienable rights. Those among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's very interesting phraseology, because if you'll go to Loving versus Virginia in 1967, where they addressed a prohibition against interracial marriages in Virginia and said it was unconstitutional, rightfully so. And they said it was unconstitutional because the right to enter the institution of marriage belongs to all free men and also women as a means of pursuit of happiness. They recognize just what the United States Supreme Court has historically recognized, that the union of one man and one woman in the holy estate of matrimony is the sure foundation of all that is noble and worthy. Noble and stable, they said. And they said, this is where family and marriage originate, come from.
Wow.
So basically, you know, when we, you can't eliminate God from the equation, because if you do, you not only violate the spiritual basis upon which this country is founded, it violates all history. And not only does it violate history, it violates the law of the United States Supreme Court.
Yes.
In case history. So basically, what gives the right of a federal court or the United States Supreme Court to go into the Constitution and address a word that's not even found there?
Yeah,
nothing. The power is not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it, the Constitution, to the states, are reserved to the states, respectively, or the people.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to understand where our rights come from.
Mm-hmm.
It's stated in the Bill of Rights. Many people think the Bill of Rights lists the rights that we have because man put them in there.
Mm-mm.
No, it was a reservation to the states and to the people of rights not given to the United States federal government.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not against the federal government.
Nope.
I'm not against federal judges. I'm upholding the law.
That's right.
In fact, if you go to my order, you'll find that I quoted the fact that this federal judge did not have one probate court in an initial order under her.
Mm-hmm.
Not one.
Mm-hmm.
That meant that for it to say that it bound our federal judges, our probate judges, completely contradicted Rule 65 of the Federal Rules of Procedure, which state they can't bind anyone who's not a party, agent, officer, servant, or employee of a party, or an attorney of a party, nor in concert with a party.
Mm.
So she could bind no one, and that's all I said in my initial order. It was a matter of law, it was a matter of constitutional law, and it was a matter of understanding that there are attempts to change your whole state constitution by unlawful orders because we don't understand them.
Well, I think that that's the real issue, Judge. And, of course, unfortunately, our time is really getting very limited. And I appreciate what you've said to us and our listening audience here this afternoon. It's been very educational. In about a minute, which is all the time we have left, I'm going to jump ahead a little bit and ask what you will do if and when the High Court rules against traditional biblical marriage in June. Can you answer that in a minute?
Well, you know, if the High Court rules, the state courts are bound, but nobody can change your conscience. That's part of the understanding of the freedom of conscience. And I would do exactly what Benjamin Curtis did in the Dred Scott case in 1857. He was on the Supreme Court, and they ruled that black people were property. Unconstitutional? Yes. Was it the Supreme Court? It was. And he said that when a strict interpretation of the Constitution is abandoned and the theoretical opinions of individuals are allowed to control its meaning, we have no longer a Constitution. We're under a government of individual men who, for the time being, have the power to declare what the Constitution is, according to their own views of what they think it ought to mean. When the United States Supreme Court takes this step, they're going to destroy not only marriage, they're going to destroy family.
They're going to destroy
the basic foundations of our country.
Do you have any indication as to how you think they may rule on this?
I don't think anybody can predict that at this time. I think things are changing, and I think people are waking up, and I think the Supreme Court's going to get the message, and if they don't, they're going to suffer the consequences.
There you go.
Wow.
Yep.
Judge Roy Moore, we want to thank you very, very much for being with us today. And like I said at the top of the program here at Freedom Focus, we stand with you 100%. We're thankful unto the Lord for a man like you. We pray for more men and women like you to stand for truth, to stand for law, because the United States of America is a nation of law, and it should be maintained in that way. So God bless you. We'll be praying for you. Thank you for being with us today on Freedom Focus, Judge Moore.
Thank you, sir.
And maybe we can have you again one of these days in the future as this continues to develop. So, ladies and gentlemen, you had a great education there on constitutional law today. We want to thank you for the pleasure of your company. Until tomorrow, I'm Gary Dull.
I'm Dave Kistler.
And I'm Sam Rohr.
Stand up for faith and freedom. Keep looking up. Watch God work. And remember, the best is yet to come.
You've been listening to Freedom Focus with Gary Dull and David Kistler. To contact Freedom Focus or the Faith and Freedom Institute, visit our website, faithandfreedominstitute.com. Email ffi@faithandfreedom.com. Call 814-207-0102. Or write to the Faith and Freedom Institute at 1031 Poland Avenue, Altoona, Pennsylvania, 16601. Faith and Freedom, have you not? To make America the best nation on earth.